No. Oh, I have to go to church. No, I get to go to church. It's not my duty, it's my desire. And you start to grow in Christ. And then, do I have to tithe? No, I get to tithe because it's an investment. And now you start to receive God's provision. Oh, I don't have to love my spouse. No, you get to love her. And when that happens, you have a bright future because a happy wife is a happy life.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled The Law of the Harvest, where we heard some amazing stories of God's provision for those who are faithful to Him. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to give us five rewards for a generous life, and each of them has your name written all over it. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Law of the Harvest.
Let me give you five ways or five rewards of the generous life. Write them down, will you? It's not going to be necessarily yours, but these are mine. Five rewards of the generous life. Would you write it down? Number one, write down, every time I give, I grow in gratefulness. Write that down. I grow in gratefulness. Let's read the scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Read it. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a... Yeah, everyone should do just as he's purposed in his heart. You know what he's saying? Don't just let your giving be spontaneous or an emotional reaction to something. It should be planned and purposed in your heart. This is what I intentionally choose to do because I understand the law of the harvest, and this is for you, God, to sow back and replenish life and to be able to allow me and others to be helped by the gospel. This is for that purpose, and I plan for that. So each one should do just as he's purposed in his heart. But here it is. God says, I want you to bring the whole tithe. So he's saying, but I'm not just concerned about the right quantity. I'm really more concerned about the right quality with which that is given. That your heart be not grudging, not under compulsion, for God loves a... It's about the heart. You combine the heart and your gift, miracles take place. You can have the task, but if it doesn't have the heart, it's really no good. Well, I'm going to give here. It's a duty to give, right? You wanted me to give here. Yeah, no, you don't do that. You know, your birthday comes up and you wanted a gift here. Here's a gift. I came from the counselor today, honey. Oh, good, babe. How was it? The counselor said I'm supposed to say I love you every day. So there you go. It's like, no, don't even say it then. You get that? No, you can do it if it's a bad heart. When you come to New Hope, I want you to not feel like you have to give. I want our hearts to go, I get to give. It's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. You know, God is wanting to partner with me. Are you kidding? It's not a sacrifice, it's an investment. No, it's not a duty. It's my desire to walk with God and to be a part of that. Did you catch that? And God says, now your faith is activating the provision of heaven because I want to reach your heart, not just your head. And that's the kind of people, it's kind of like this. Some people say, do I have to give? Well, it's sort of a sacrifice. I'll give, but whoa, here it is. Yeah. It's a duty. That's a duty of a Christian. Well, it's sort of like this. Sometimes we say, well, man, I go to New Hope. You know, do we have to pray? Well, no, you don't have to. Yeah, well, you know, I do my devotions, but it's a sacrifice. It's really a sacrifice. Really? Yeah. And I know it's a duty to tithe, so I'll do that. Okay. You going to church? Yeah. Do we have to go to church? Yes, dear. Sometimes... Sometimes we almost have to bribe our spouses, don't you? I have so many women say, you know, like, they tell me, this is just a kind of facetious example, but, honey, If you go to church today, it's like, don't do that. Well, you know, it's kind of like my duty, right, to love my spouse. Now, if it ends up on this board, you can be Christians, but we're like stinking Pharisees. You know, well, I do it. It's my duty. It's my obligation. I have to go to church today. And we hate it. So everything we see is through a bias of negativity, and we're checking our watches. We're squirming. We're saying, how long is he going to preach? He should be done by now. And once that happens, our learning mechanism shuts down. Boom. And we're just like checking email. What are you doing, honey? I'm taking notes on my iPhone. Yeah, we're just like in zombie land. But you see, if we say, no, it's not I have to, I get to. It's not a sacrifice. It's an investment that God's making in my life. No, it's not duty. It's my desire. So watch this. It's not that I have to pray. I get to pray. And once that changes in your heart, it goes from praying to God doing miracles. And when you say, no, I'm not going to be sacrificially doing devotions. I get to do devotions. It's an investment in my life. Oh, now you start to know God. And when you start to know God, everything changes. No. Oh, I have to go to church. No, I get to go to church. It's not my duty. It's my desire. And you start to grow in Christ. And then, oh, I have to tithe. No, I get to tithe because it's an investment. And now you start to receive God's provision. You see, when your heart changes, oh, I don't have to love my spouse. No, you get to love her. And when that happens, you have a bright future because a happy wife is a happy life. Do you understand the difference here? So in New Hope, I want us to get this board emptied and this board filled. It's not something of an obligation. It's an opportunity to grow in Christ. And every time I give, I grow in gratefulness. What do you think? That's far better. Second thing, write down, every time I give, I break the back of greed and selfishness. Every time I give. Because it's the human condition, naturally, to be consumers. We like stuff. Did you know that America takes up 4% of the world's population? We consume 40% of the world's goods. We're above all the epitome of consumer mentality. And right now we're in a very interesting season of the life of our nation. Everyone's wondering what's going to happen with the economy, what's going to take place, is it going to go up, down, where is it going to do that? Very interesting. But people say, well, what do we need? We don't need just a cosmetic change where there's a little bit more jobs here and there, and we've got socialized insurance now and all of these things. That's just, no, those are cosmetic wallpaper. You know what we really need? We need a healing of the disease of the human heart. Of greed and selfishness. And every time I give, and I give on purpose, it breaks the hold of that materialism has on me. And it controls me a little less and a little less. And every time I give, you know what it does? It balances me off. And I start to reprioritize what's most important in life. You stop giving and you just continue taking. Watch how your balance goes wacko. Even though you think you're thinking right, you're wacko. And your priorities are wacko. But when you start giving on purpose, all of a sudden you think, oh, and you choose to be a person of faith and you give to God, God starts using it and He gives back to you perception again. He gives back to you balance and you start to reprioritize things as to what's most important. But it's a phenomenal thing that takes place as you break the back of greed and selfishness. And every time I give, it says to the devil, I will not be a person where the world revolves around me, because it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through me. And my God's going to provide. And He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Well, how do you tap into His riches and glory? By you activating that by faith. And God says, now watch what I'm about to return. I'm just waiting for your faith. You ain't waiting for me on my faith. I'm waiting for you and yours. Write down number three. Each time I give, I become a partner in an eternal enterprise. Every time I give, I become a partner in an eternal enterprise. I become part of something bigger than I am, and it outlasts me. Bigger than me, and it outlasts me. When I give, whew, the gospel goes to the mission field. We just had a team, several teams, come back from Nepal. Spent a week or 10 days there and helping reach the people of Nepal. We just had a whole group from Life Change come back from Japan. See, those are the things that we don't even see that's happening because we're contributing. But until you contribute, those things don't happen. Whenever I give, it makes me a partner in an eternal enterprise. And things that are beyond you start to happen. But it's not going to happen because we just talk about it. It's happening because we contribute to it. Just as you know, a couple of years ago, the roof fell in on the Farrington Auditorium, which really kind of upset the whole New Hope Church, because all of a sudden we didn't have a place to meet. So the satellite that was here went out. We then moved into this little place. We had to start busting things out. It upset our system a lot, because it wasn't just a small move. It had to, dominoes went everywhere. And just now we're settling in. We're starting to get traction again. I just feel a great season now because we were stabilized. Now we can start moving forward. But it took a couple of years of jostling and figuring out what to do. We went into panic mode for a bit. But now it's like, whew. But we thought, you know, God, you had us contribute so much into that school. We gave so much into that. We felt so a part of that. We even refurbished the seats in the auditorium, and then the roof collapsed, like, all gone. And I said, Lord, now we move out. It's like, done. Until just recently. Recently, just, I want to read this portion of this letter. There's a gang violence task force that just met in Kalihi, because some of you have been reading the paper, and the gang activity has increased rapidly in Kalihi. Now, they had a task force meeting, and we get this letter. And so it says, Aloha. I just had to share that at the gang violence task force meeting, the positive influence of New Hope being at Farrington came up. Several citizens, along with an agency director, commented on how gang violence used to be such a problem until New Hope opened its ministry at the school. And when that happened, the violence died down. But now that New Hope has moved, the violence has spiked once again. Everyone talked about how the youth at Farrington got involved in New Hope's programs and found direction in life. And everyone agreed that it was the involvement of the church that was so crucial to addressing the gang violence. And we wanted to just say thank you for all the good work that you do. Isn't that cool? That is so neat. You see, when you give into something, you become a part of that, and God begins a work beyond what you can see, beyond yourself. But if we just say, God bless you, be warm, be filled, and something happens, like, well, whatever, that's not ours. But if you have contribution into it, there's a connection. That's why Matthew 6:1 in your scriptures, it says, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, you'll have a treasure. No, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. If you say to someone, oh, I like you, I love you, but I ain't giving you squat. It's just words. But you start giving into that person, pretty soon it's like, wow, I want to make sure this person's okay. I remember, for example, when the first stock that I invested in was Snapple. Do you remember that? It's still around, isn't it? Snapple drinks. And so I invested a few thousand in Snapple, and I was just like a college kid, just out of college. So I thought I'd start investing. And you know, when I go to the supermarket, I wouldn't buy orange juice. I would buy Snapple. That's right. And if you came and said, I would like to buy a carbonated drink, I'd say, don't buy a carbonated drink. Buy Snapple. Well, I sold that and then took the money. And just as Starbucks was starting up, I started investing a ton in Starbucks. I'm glad, because it just split and split and split, and I had just a ton of stock in that. And so every time I'd go to town, guess where I'd stop? And if I wanted to meet someone, I'd say, meet me at... And I sold it right at the peak, so thank you, Howard Schultz and Starbucks in Seattle, because that was a wonderful gift. But you understand, if you don't have contribution to something, it's like not that big of a deal. But once you do, it's like, whoa. And if you don't have contribution, you don't own it, it's like, well, whatever. That's why people, have you ever seen anybody wash their rental car? So you know what I'm talking about, right? You don't even clear the trash out of the front seat. You drive the stink out of it and you just turn it in. Why? Because I ain't got nothing to do with that. But if you contribute, something of you is a part of that. And God is saying each time you give, it makes you a partner in an eternal enterprise. Write the next one down, number four. Every time you give and I give, it wages war on worry and brings my life under His protection. It wages war on worry. You know, other people may sit up at night worrying about stuff. I don't. Because I've chosen to be a person who understands the law of the harvest, and I'm cooperating with it. And I know God will let me sleep because He's going to fight on my behalf. Well, sure, it takes a toll. When we were getting sued and stuff, it was a little painful. But I knew God was going to take care of it. Whether it took 6 months or a year, I knew God was going to take care of it. I just needed to give Him time, give His grace time to work. And He does. And He heals us up and brings us back. And again, in the meantime, I learned a ton of lessons. I grew so much. Was it easy? No. Some people say, Wayne, are you a man of faith? Yes, but it did not come easily. It did not come easily. But am I thankful for it? Oh, absolutely. In the end, it gives and produces thanksgiving to God. I look back and I say, thank you. Doesn't mean you won't get attacked, but God says you can wage war on worry as you bring your life under His protection, even when it's out of your control. I got to read this to you. You know, this summer I was in Japan ministering, and this guy came up to me and handed me this letter like this, and he started to explain this letter. He said, you sent me a friend notice requesting friend on Facebook. I said, I did? I don't usually send stuff to people I don't know. He said, oh, no. Later on, I found out it was an imposter. But a Pastor Cordero sent this, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, oh, no, let me explain. So he said, when you sent me this friend request, I was so excited, I was jumping around. Because my wife and I deeply respect New Hope, and we watch New Hope all the time. So instantly I responded with great joy, yes, and introduced myself. Well, a couple of days later, another message came from this Pastor Cordero asking me to fast for 3 days and then sow a seed of faith. And then he stopped and he said, by the way, I want you to know that my wife and I weren't doing real good at this time. So I said, okay, so what happened? And he keeps going. He says, well, my wife and I willingly accepted that instruction because we felt it was coming from you. So we went into a 3-day fast. And you know what? We found ourselves after the fast so changed. Our relationship was mended. I had asked for forgiveness. And my wife and I got so close, it felt as if we were dreaming, he said. And after the 3 days fast, we joined a Bible study, started going to midweek service, and we started family worship. After the fast, this person, introducing himself as Pastor Cordero, suggested that we give a donation to an African orphanage. And we agreed. And we were ready to do so, but felt something was wrong. So we called New Hope and found that it was an imposter and it's a scam. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, no. He said, after all of the scam stuff, I want you to know, Wayne, our joy never changed because the Word of God is alive. And even though the devil tried to use the name of Pastor Cordero and other things to deceive us, as a result, this person instead was used by God to inspire our faith, heal our marriage, and build us in the things of God. So God indeed is real and alive. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep that letter. It's like God says, if you'll be a man or woman of righteousness, I'll turn the tables on the devil for you. Don't you worry. You can rest, and I'll work on your behalf because your faith has activated not only the provision of heaven, but the protection. Do you understand? Is that good? That's so good. And let me give you the last one. When I give, it lets me enjoy what I have. Remember, God gives us bread for food and seed for sowing. So he says, you know, Wayne, I give you bread for food. You're supposed to eat that. Not this. But if you're faithful to sow it and I bring liberally here, when you make toast, sit down and enjoy the toast. See, what was happening was this summer I have a Harley Davidson. I was going down the freeway. I was going to take a little break with some friends. And so I'm riding down, and all of a sudden, I am bombarded with a guilt trip. It's like the devil started coming after me and saying, you're a pastor. What are you riding on this big motorcycle for? You should sell that. You should be riding a 250 Honda. But instead, you're riding this. How proud of you. You need to sell that, and you should be on a, and then you feel holier. I thought, oh, maybe I should sell the boom, 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 boom for an. And I was just going through this thing, and it's like the Lord stopped me and said, knock it off. Didn't I say that if you would trust me that I would bless you? Didn't I say that I would give you liberally? So now when you eat what you're supposed to eat and sow what you're supposed to sow, I want you to enjoy what I've blessed you with. Don't get a guilt trip on it. You start to enjoy whatever you have left. Enjoy it. Now, I know some people may not have as much, but regardless of whether you have little, medium, or a lot, God is saying, when you walk righteously with me, I'm going to give you joy and peace and depth at whatever stage you're at in life. I know people that have big houses and big cars, and they would trade it all for peace and joy. They would give it all up. It's not the thing. It's the enjoyment of that. And that's why Isaiah 6:3 says this. Read it in your notes. Go. Tell the righteous, it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit. God says, hey, listen, when I bless you, just enjoy it. Don't you get on a guilt trip. Don't you? I'm not talking about opulence and consumerism, but God says, I will bless you when I do. Take the time to enjoy it. Take the time to do that. It's the blessings of God for you. And you can enjoy that with peace and joy. And I said, Lord, that is your goodness, isn't it? That's your goodness. And all of that is because your faith is willing to activate your inheritance. Now, it's not about prosperity, but it is about God's blessing that He's set to bless you with. And we can get so weirded out that we say, no, I think I'll just ride a 250 the rest of my life and I'm okay. That makes me feel better. You know what? That's selfishness too, because it's still about you. Well, I'm just going to deprive myself. No, you don't deprive yourself because it's still about you. What you do is you learn to give to help others. So it's not about you. You understand? And God says, I'll bless you so that you can do it. Once you get on yourself, even whether it's depriving yourself or becoming opulent about yourself, it's still about yourself. But it ain't about you. It's about what I can do through you. And when I give you rest, enjoy your rest. Because that's the law of the harvest. Did you learn anything today? Amen. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Law of the Harvest by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.